Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You once again, I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. And this is scan number 3044. That's 3044. Okay. And that's a lot of shows, people. It's really making me feel good, you know. It's making me feel good that, you know, that we've done so many shows just with Block Talk Radio. So anyway, tonight we're going to be having a guest, you know, that's who's coming on the show. She was here a second and then she left, and I think she'll come back again. But anyway, the guest's name is Michelle Bless. And she's from Cincinnati. She's a survivor of severe child abuse, who is now a minister and chaplain. She'll appear on Thursday of each month and is the author of the book, Out of the Darkness, the Michelle Bless Story. Okay. All right. And I see a hand up there. Hello, hello, Michelle. Let me read the mission statement first and get that out of the way. I like to read the mission state when I run my, you know, when I run my shows, because this is what we're about. This is only a little bit about what we do, okay? We really do so much more. But to those who have never heard NASCA, they get an idea anyway. Okay, we have a singleness of purpose at NASCA, and that is to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so two different ways. Number one is educating the public, very important, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting the facts that show child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone, and it does. Number two is offering hope for healing through numerous paths and providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Now, people always say to me, hey, Carol, when you say prevention, why do you go prevention? I do that for a reason, okay. I really believe that if communities would get more involved, much more involved, you know, with their neighborhoods and so forth, and came to realize why they should be. It's even for their own benefit. It would probably slow down on, you know, on B&Es and things because, and also things, you know, carjacking, all kinds of stuff that goes on. Luckily, in our area so far, we haven't had too many of the kids or whomever. I can't get too specific with this, but you know, where they're banging the windows out and all this stuff, trying to steal. And I pray to God it stays that way. You're going to have some on the urban side, absolutely, and a little bit over in PA. You're going to have some, absolutely, depending on the urban areas. However, for the most part, we've been a lot more quiet than where I was born, like in New York, okay? I don't have to tell you, you watch the news like I do, although I watch it from morning till night. I'm a news buff. I came from a political family. So I just eat this stuff up, and it's disgusting. Now, what I try to get across to people is if you speak to your children about child abuse, and you do it in an appropriate way, in an appropriate age, you're going to have a safer kid. All right, it's as simple as that. I don't try to pull the wool over people's eyes or candy coat things. I tell them like it is, because many of us on NASCA have been kidnapped. I was one, and Michelle, who's our guest, she too was one. I mean, there's so many people who have been kidnapped as a child, kidnapped and raped. The man who kidnapped and raped me was not a killer, but he was a serial, abuser, in the sense where he sexually abused the kids, everyone that he kidnapped, and they dropped them back off at home. That was nice of him, I guess. I don't know. Now that I think about it. But anyway, he found me out on the courtyard in New York when I went to a PS-26 in Travis. Now, a kid doesn't know they're being watched. All right? And if you don't give that child any type of information, the red flags, as we call it here on NASCA, about how to watch out for yourself, strange behavior from people you don't know, then that child is more at risk, okay, of getting kidnapped, all right, and then unfortunately getting raped, and then if the guy is also a murderer, then getting killed. It's as simple as that. Or many times they put them out on the street and pimp them out. Now, I think the Johns are just as, in trouble they should be as the pimps. Because if there were no Johns, then we wouldn't need pimps, would we? All right? And the guys at the top, they wouldn't be getting rich, would they? You see, that's how it goes. It's a three-step thing. The Johns, the pimps, and then those way at the top. All right, so enough about that. But you have to understand, a child who has been informed, not scared, but educated. And I will say that on our website, NASCA, that's NAASCA.org, NASCA.org, if you go across to the red blocks, you go down, you see the red blocks, each block has a different subject matter. And if you go over to the right-hand side, you'll see, I think it's the second one in for the last. It talks about prevention, intervention, and recovery of children, how to talk to your children, and also recovery of adults, the whole nine yards. You get an awful lot of information. And when I've done my presentations, and I'll start doing that again, I'm going to be on other radio stations too. But the point is this. If you have, and I know this to be a fact, if you have given your child the proper information, which you can find on our website, how to speak to a child, what to say to a child, what not to say to a child, and everything is age appropriate. And they also recommend that the mother and father, role play. Absolutely do role playing. Because you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Kids have minds like little sponges. And if you sit down and talk to them in an appropriate way, and you say, listen, mommy and daddy love you, and because we do love you so much, we want to keep you safe, not just teach you how to cross the street, which is, that's a good thing to do, good thing to learn, but also, too, how to keep the rest of you safe, all right, what to look for, and remember, I will always believe you if someone touches you the wrong way or makes you feel uncomfortable. Now, you're making a bond with that child right then and there when you speak to them. Mommy and daddy care so much about me that they're going to tell me more about life and they want to keep me safe. And that child will come to you. All right? So that's one of the things that we do at NASCA is we teach people, how to bring their children up in that sense and why it's so very, very important to do that, absolutely. Now, tonight we're going to talk about the holidays, and the reason being for the holidays is they're coming up and you have the holiday blues. Now, this goes in all different directions. Okay, with the holiday blues. I remember the holidays when I was growing up, and many times in homes that are dysfunctional, which I don't know anyone on NASCA who came from a good home, okay? I really don't. So think about all the people who are a part of NASCA, and then tenfold it, all right, who come from dysfunctionality in their homes, these people who come from dysfunctional homes. With the pandemic, child abuse has skyrocketed, okay? It was bad enough before, but now it's tripled. And what happens to the pandemic, okay? With the pandemic and all the crimes in the street and all the things and then all the new rules and having to stay home if they close down, some areas are going to have to wear masks again. I mean, this is ridiculous. I feel, excuse me, that's my opinion. I mean, I was around people who were positive, and they didn't know they were positive, okay? And I didn't get anything, but I did go and get 2 Pfizer shots. I never got my booster. Now, either you're gonna, in my mind's eye, and it could be wrong, in my mind's eye, either you're going to get it or you're not going to get it. I mean, that's just me speaking, okay?
Yeah,
and
true.
I think a lot of the things that we put our children through, you know, with the shots, I think a lot of it is unnecessary. Then they hear all this terrible talk. And then if they are kept home, and then they have to wear masks. And it wasn't even that long ago that during the summertime, right before school was out, one kid was running around the track. I used to be a part of track. I used to love to run. And I would jump over the hurdles and all kinds of stuff. I was really good at that. And it was a good release because I had so much pent-up hate, okay? And I had to do something with it. So I would run until I dropped, and no one could touch me when I did the 50-yard dash. Okay, I was that good of a runner. There's only one little girl who came awful close, and I was awful mad. And I said, get out of here. But anyway, the point of the whole thing is when you are horribly abused, you come from homes, and you don't know where to go, you don't know what to do, who are you going to talk to? Who are you going to talk to when you come from a home? Yeah. Now my Michelle, I hear her voice. And we're going to get into that. Yeah, you want to have something you want to say? Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to make sure you heard me. I didn't know whether I was muted.
Oh, no. You're there, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have to watch the studio because I have a habit. I get into this spiel of teaching people what to do, what not to do, which I've been taught, and I'll close my eyes, and then all of a sudden the screen goes black. Oops, I got to watch that. Oh, my God. I haven't lost anybody yet. I haven't lost anybody yet. Now, Annie is there, and Annie is co-hosting tonight, too. We have Michelle, Bless, and
yes,
I had that before you came. Yes, you are. You are there. Yes, you are. And I had read about Michelle a little bit before she came on, so they know who you are, Michelle. And also, too, mentioning the fact that you had written the book Out of the Darkness, the Michelle Bless story. Her story is of redemption. In 1997, Michelle writes that she was introduced to the Lord, and she denounced Satan, thus beginning the process of giving her life to God. Now, today, Michelle is a minister. All right, she's a minister. And I just want people to know that. And she's an ordained minister. So, okay. So what I want to do is, I remember during one presentation over at Centenary, a university that's over in Hackerstown, there was this one lady who had stood up towards the end of my presentation, and I went on for about an hour. We all know I can do that. But anyway, she stood up and she raised her hand. She says, excuse me. And I said, how can I help you? Okay. And she said, well, you know, the holidays are coming. They're coming. Because in October and November, I used to help teach class also to those who are going to be social workers, all right, and all this other stuff, because they don't know enough about child abuse. And they're not given enough classes on it either. And I've got news for you.
Exactly.
Neither the professors nor the cops or anybody else. It's we, the people, okay, who have walked through that mucky mud, okay, who have fallen down into that ditch of horror, okay, that has to crawl ourselves up out of that and learn how to live. We're the ones who are really, really more like the professors, okay? Now, she's standing there, and she's saying, Thanksgiving is coming. And I really I want to see some of the relatives, but I don't want to see other relatives because a few of them had abused me as a child. Should I go to this function? That's the way she put it, function. Or should I stay home? What should I do? Or I don't want to be alone on Thanksgiving. Well, I've got news for you. There's a lot of people who go through that. Okay? A lot of people. I know in my immediate family, my brother was an abuser of mine. Yes, yes, yes. All the yeses. And nobody cared. And I was always put, Michelle, to sit right across from him at the table. And all I wanted to do was kick him. I remember I didn't even have an appetite. I just wanted to kick him. But I would get into trouble if I did that. Now, a lot of people, what happens is you run into childhood. You go through your abuses. And, of course, that was only one of many, wasn't it? My brother. But and so many of us have had so many abuses in our lives. It doesn't always have to be family. It's outside of family, too, unfortunately. It's like we walk around, and instead of saying, kick me with a sticker on you, it says something else, all right? And that's what happens. I don't know. We walk with our heads down. We suffer from a low self-esteem. We already feel bad about ourselves because of where we've been, and we know where we've been. And, you know, you have all these things. You just don't like yourself. And it's a known fact. The sex offenders / pedophiles. Pedophiles go after kids who are, you know, prepubescent, whereas a sex offender goes after anybody, I guess. Maybe teenagers of the late teenage years, they have a separate name for them. And or even in the 20s or 30s, whatever, okay? They don't care. Someone who is walking alone on the street, I always tell my kids, do not walk alone. Don't do this. Because it's so easy to get kidnapped. I was alone. Michelle, you've been kidnapped. Nobody would buy you. Okay?
That's right.
So when a kid is walking down the street alone, watch out. Okay? And I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. You're putting yourself in harm's way. And you don't even know it because you're a kid. So that's why it's so important, going back to what I said in the beginning, to educate your children and certainly don't have them walking alone, okay? So anyway, the point is what we're going to talk, let's get on the subject now. Because it is about the blues. I mean, I said to the lady, just to finish out with at the university, I've spoken to many of them and many times at Centenary. But I said to her, look, I know how you feel. There is one person in this room. It was a huge room I was in. I was in the auditorium. I said, there is one person in here who has been abused who doesn't understand how you feel. So I remember wanting to do a hand count, but people aren't so quick to put their hand up and say, yeah, I was abused. I get it now. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to do that. A lot of people just keep it to themselves, or they or a select few, or if they have a therapist, whatever. But I said, look, the worst thing a person can do, this is my view on it, okay? Everybody has their own view, is to be alone on the holidays. Thanksgiving, Christmas, can't take away what happened to you, okay, if it is family members. But on the other hand, it doesn't mean you have to be alone because one year, Michelle, I did go out and I did work in a soup kitchen. And I've worked with the homeless before, so have you. And we've both been homeless. We know what that feels like.
Absolutely.
I chose to leave. Yeah. I chose to leave. And so rather than look at my stupid brother, I call him my stupid brother. But anyway, at Thanksgiving, 1 year, I decided, you know what, I'm not going to look at these people because I'd have to look at him And then they want me to get up and my cousins and sing. Well, I don't feel like singing here. You know what I'm saying? I didn't like where I was. Let's put it that way. So this article that I have, and it was written by someone who has their master's degree and so forth and so on, licensed practitioner and all, practitioner and so forth. All right. The worst thing you can do is be alone, because that brings on depression. And if you have depression on the holidays, you know, that's a bad feeling. Bad feeling. So people many times who haven't been put in the situations that we've been in, they can suffer from depression too. Because look at the world we live in. We're scrunched, so we don't have the monies that we had before. We don't know if we're going to be here next month. You know what I'm saying? There's all kinds of things going on. Believe me, honey, I watch the news, all right? Do I believe all the news? No, I'm not stupid. But I can see enough of it and pick out what I believe, you know, and I think we're in big, bad trouble. So there's other people out there who think we're in big, bad trouble, too, without being political, okay? So it's going to be, you know, a very hard year this year for the holidays. We do our very best to have a good time. But for those who don't want to be with their family, I don't blame them. What was suggested in this article and what I did do 1 year, I did go to where they were serving turkey and mashed potatoes, and believe me, it wasn't a gala event. The people were homeless, and yet they were so thankful, you know, to have this. The food was medium, okay. Hey, look, I'm sure they weren't rating the food. They were just happy to have a place to go where it was warm. This is what I observed, and so forth. And we sang some songs, you know, I would sing, and then there's another gal there, she could sing, she had a guitar, in fact. And so we sang some songs, and to try and bring joy, because unfortunately, during this time of the year, for many people, Michelle and Nanny, there is no joy. They have their memories. Mm-hmm. They have their memories of what made them feel depressed. So what I'm going to do here, Annie, is there something you'd like to say before I go on here?
No, thank you. Please go ahead.
Okay. For many survivors of childhood, abuse can be a horrible time of the year. Be prepared. This person is telling us to be prepared. Many people face the events of alcohol abuse by others around them or other drugs, which can then lead into arguments or even worse, physical violence. I saw so many people lose their teeth. I'm not talking about me. I also saw a lot of blood. Then there are those who, as children, witness it. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. And I did have a friend whose Christmas tree was smashed and thrown across the room. Now, that's not part of the article. But that's what she witnessed. She was only 10 years old, and she had helped to decorate the tree. And she was terrified. She was saddened. She became sad because she was helping to put ornaments on that tree, and now they were ruined. She was 10 years old. And she once said to me, Carol, I'll never forget it. You see, you don't think you're going to forget it. You don't think you're not going to forget it, rather. But you don't forget it. So picture her if she was alone on a holiday. You look back when you're growing up, and she would remember certainly that tree. So the thing to do is to go out and help other people. This is what this article does suggest. And, you know, like to do what I had done. I did it once. I saw what it was like. And then I worked a lot in New York City with the homeless. That was a different thing, and that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. We seem to get along very well, me and the homeless. All right, so, or maybe the abused children were safe as long as someone was around. Now, you know what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. The abuser may be parents or a parent. Now, that can be physical, mental, emotional, sexual, or neglect. How does it feel to sit across? Oh, here you go. How does it feel to sit across from one who abused you as a child? Well, I'd already spoken about that. I wanted to kick him. And it also can be terrifying to some kids. I don't feel terrified very often. I just get mad. But it's Christmas or it's Thanksgiving. Come on now. I have to be happy, don't I? As a child, you were trapped and you had no place to go. For many children, holidays, you have school off, school is closed, and they have wonderful families and they have wonderful friends. They have a lot to do, you know, during the holidays. And, you know, it's something for them to look forward to. But that, unfortunately, is not so with so many of us. For those who came from abusive families, it can be a nightmare. Children many times try to stay quiet and alone in their own home, out of sight, out of mind. And yet, what are they listening to, Michelle? They're listening to fighting. They're listening to maybe things being thrown, and they just huddle up in their room, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And that can happen. It happens to many, many, most days of the year. But on the holidays, it's supposed to be a time of cheer. Children try at times to dissociate, go to another place in their mind. That's what dissociate means. During this time called the holidays, they suffer from feelings of abandonment. As an adult, many survivors find themselves thinking of the parents they wish that they had had, the parents they deserved. They often grieve the loss and wonder why couldn't they have been happy enough, you know, to grow up in a normal home. That why couldn't they be in like Norman Rockwell? All right, well, like those pictures that he drew. He was so well known in Norman Rockwell. Grief is a reaction to any form of loss. Bereavement is a type of grief involving the death of a loved one. Bereavement and grief encompass a range of feelings from deep sadness to anger. Now, depression, on the other hand, is characterized by a general feeling of worthlessness, despair, and lack of joy. Now, this was written by Joyce A. Thompson. She is an MS, and she's an LMFT also. And that means she's a licensed therapist. Many times in grief or in mental and so forth. Now, over 700,000 children have been a victim of abuse or neglect within a very short period of time, like in a year's time. And with the COVID, the stats have tripled. Now, why is that? Why do you think, Michelle?
Let me say this about... I have talked to several victims of abuse who feel that their worst time of pain is during the holidays, and I have suggested to them that all you got to do if I'm talking to a male victim or a female victim, I will say, listen, that happened to you when you was a child. That pain is never going to go away. But you can use this tool if you want to get out and go around with your family or whatever, mm-hmm. whether the perpetrator is there or not. You can tell yourself in your mind that I'm not that little girl, little boy anymore. I'm an adult, and I'm protecting my little self in me. You can tell yourself that even in your pain, because you are an adult, they can't hurt you anymore. Mentally, yeah, because the pain is still there. But they can't just up and grab you. You can tell yourself, look, I'm a big person now. I'm an adult. They can't touch me. That is a tool that you can use to tell yourself in your mind. I have some that said it was hard, but I have some that said it worked. If you can't go that route, what Carol suggested, and I do it all the time every year anyway, is mm-hmm. you don't have to be alone. You can go volunteer at a soup kitchen. You can go to, you can, I mean, and they're everywhere in every city and every state. All, during the holidays, churches and stuff like that, they need more volunteers than anything just to come to pass out food, to pass out gifts. And you can do that. So you don't have to be alone. And if anyone's in the chat room or anyone's listening, if you need to find out how you can go about looking up things, you know, you can reach out to Carol after the show. She's on the website, or you can reach out to me, Minister Michelle Bless, and we can guide you to where you can go to look up resources.
That's right.
I strongly suggest that you do not have to be alone. There's too many places. I know for a fact there's too many places that you can go on a holiday and not be alone. So it's really your choice, you know.
That's really your choice
on whether or not you want to be at home. But I'm saying you don't have to.
Well, you know, it's I agree with what you're saying completely. And there's nothing more sad, you know, when I was in that soup kitchen that day. I'm looking at these people all around me. Then the Salvation Army is also a good place to go to. Yeah, that's a good place also. I used to take clients there who had no insurance from detox, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was working at Perth Amboy at the time. But in Morristown, New Jersey, there is a big center there where I would tell the police to take them. If they had a background, I wasn't going to take them. I'm not stupid. You know, whatever the case might be. And they could go to the Salvation Army. And I bring that up because I do donate every year to the Salvation Army because I did take people there. I did see a lot of change in people.
Mm-hmm.
In the daytime, Michelle, they would work in the thrift shop downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then upstairs was the living quarters. And they'd also have a big room where they had meetings, AA meetings. And then there were other times they had, vans where they would take them out and go to a meeting somewhere else. But so they had their three meals a day. They started to have order in their life. They had counselors there of all kinds. And the hospital isn't that far away from the Salvation Army. I know when I worked in detox, there was many people, for God's sake, they'd start seizing. But the hospital was right across the street, because it was a part of the hospital. Okay, it was a part of the hospital. It's just across the street. So I don't know how many grand mal seizures I saw. I couldn't even tell you. But it was they had a place to go, like you said, even at detox. Okay, I mean, we would have parties for them. Many times I knew I had kids and I wanted to be home with my children. And in between husbands or whatever, and I only have two. No, I don't have five or ten, but whatever. You know, the point is this. I wanted to be with my kids, and they would try to, work it so, I could take that day off, and I was thankful for that. But then there were the times that I had to work the holidays, you bet. And so we would try to, we'd have good movies for them to watch, and a nice meal. And I will say, several of the places that I worked in, actually the cooks were quite good. And then a couple of the others, they weren't so good, But, Michelle, I gained weight. I'd eat food there, and then I'd go home and I'd eat food there. Oh, no. But, but anyway, the point is, like you said, there are places, for people to go. And that's important. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to be.
Right.
So then there are people, who feel ashamed about going into a shelter. I noticed in New York, when I was working by Broadway area, there are actually three parks there, and they wouldn't go anywhere outside of Manhattan, the people I worked with. It was called the Midnight Run. It was an excellent organization. It had been around for 30 years, Michelle. And
yeah.
We would go to the city with vans and all kinds of stuff, and then SUVs, and then a big truck. We had a truck also. We gave them everything because I will say, in Hackettstown, if you're listening, and I have a funny feeling they are because I found that out the other night on Halloween. But I just want to say I want to thank all the people who do donate clothing. A lot of it came from Walmart. That's fine. I'm
mm-hmm.
not one of these people that I have to go to a real fancy place to get my underwear. Excuse me. You know what I'm saying? So everything that a person could need, toothbrushes, soaps, shampoo, where would they go? If they didn't go into the shelter, okay, they'd go into a store and they'd put their head under the sink real quick, you know, and wash their hair. And I'll tell you why they didn't go into the shelter, but they'd wash their hair and then they'd turn on the blow dryer, right? And they'd blow dry their hair, but they got clean hair.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. And so, I mean, they would give them clothing, hoodies, jackets. Oh, my God. And they would know. And the ones that were lightly used, okay, were so lightly used that you wouldn't even know that they were used. And then we
mm-hmm.
had great big vats of soups. And we made, before we left even New Jersey to go over there, we would make, you know, ham sandwiches with cheese on it. We'd make turkey sandwiches. And then finally down to peanut butter and jelly. You'd be surprised people like that too. And so they'd have the soup. They'd have the sandwiches. They'd have little bags of potato chips. And then we put a drink also in the bag that we were giving them. And
right.
And we had coffee and we had hot chocolate vats, okay, of that also. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
So they waited for us to come, okay. And we also had a breakfast run. Well, now you know that's not going to work with me, okay, because
right.
I'm sleeping. So the point is it's a wonderful feeling to know, especially when you've been out on the streets, that people care enough to put so much effort, you know, into these organizations where they're going to, they know that they're going to get a meal.
Right.
Now, in the shelters in the urban areas, in New York, you know, a lot of times they're scared to go in there. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
No, I'm not going to say, no, I wasn't. Go ahead. I was
okay.
Clearing my throat.
Oh, okay. Annie, were you going to say something?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I heard something. It was a ghost. But anyway.
No, I was clearing my throat.
Oh, okay. That's what you were doing. All right.
Uh-huh.
So the point of the whole thing is sometimes in the really heavy-duty shelters like in New York, okay, I use that because I was born in New York and I know about the New York systems. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the point is, yes, there can be violence in the shelters. And if you're a weak person, and I hate this, okay, I hate this, Michelle. You're going to hate it too because you were
what?
In the military.
Mm-hmm.
There were vets out on the street in wheelchairs.
Absolutely.
And they were waiting for our truck and so forth and the vans and the SUVs and all this other stuff. But they waited until the others were gone because they were afraid to be around the people because they were afraid actually of the homeless people. And they don't like to go into the shelters. Now, I don't know where they go.
Yeah.
I really don't. Because in the shelters, if you don't have enough staff, okay, and it can turn into a nightmare. People steal other people's things. That's why you see them walking around with, wagons all the time or whatever, you know, even like from the supermarkets, even those, you know, they walk around
mm-hmm.
with it. They have their possessions in it. They have their possessions in it. And
yeah.
really, when you go into a shelter, I'll tell people this so they hear this, they do check you. They check your belongings. They check you
mm-hmm.
to make sure you're not bringing in drugs or alcohol. And if you have been drinking, you will be turned away. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's,
now,
that's
you know
no.
about that, Michelle. Yes, you
oh,
do.
Oh, yeah. They know alcohol. They're not going to let you in. That's,
no.
That's zero tolerance in these shelters. It's not personal, but they just do not tolerate that. They do not.
No. Absolutely
mm-hmm.
not. So, you know, so that's your choice. I mean, if you don't have to be alone, you have a roof over your head, you got food, what the heck? Until you get straightened out, and I pray to God that people get more straightened out in this world today, and no one's straightened out. We're all walking around not knowing what's going to happen next. But under normal circumstances, you know, again, going back to where I used to take people, the Salvation Army, they had their counselors there. Okay, I was a counselor in detox, but they had a counselor in the Salvation Army,
mm-hmm.
and they worked with the people, okay, to try and help them, all right, to try and straighten their lives. But remember, people have to want to straighten out too. I'm going through a couple of that things right now with some people. People have to want to straighten out, Michelle. You can't make people change; they have to want to change. So. We're at the time of the year where many people are very blue. They're going to be blue as Thanksgiving comes up. Maybe they don't have a family. Or maybe the family that they have rejects them. Maybe they have an alcohol problem and drug problem. Or maybe they've been in jail, say, or whatever the case might be. It can be anything, okay? Or maybe they just simply don't get along. You know, there's so many reasons why family members don't get along and how other people are cast out of families and why. But it doesn't mean you have to be alone. And those of us, like here on NASCA that I'm speaking about, you know, do something good for someone. And the article that I had read, it mentioned that, the same thing. Those of us who have worked in the shelters, who have worked in other places like that where people can go and sit down and eat, we know the feeling of, you know, feeling good later on about ourselves. And it takes our mind off of what happened and why we don't want to be there, because we see people, you know, who have nothing. They don't even have themselves, do they, Michelle?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you, my sister. Totally agree.
Yeah. Well, we've been out there, too, so we understand that.
I mean, you know, and I like how you said and expressed in detail about the different shelters and stuff like that. I just want to, you know, just add something to that again for the listeners that, especially for the ones who, excuse me, that the upcoming holidays coming up, and that's a real bad time for you. Again, I can't express it. I don't know how much more I can express it. If you don't want to go around your family, but you don't want to be alone, because we know that feeling. Carol, me, we know that feeling.
Oh, yeah.
And we know that feeling. Again, you can go to shelters. I mean, it's so many different organizations and resources out here. That during the holidays they open up places just for people to not be alone and to come and be with them in a group so y'all can be together. They have many places like that, and I have lots of resources for every city and state that does that, because that's the type of ministry that I do, and Carol has resources. So if anyone wants to know, again, just, you know, you can give us a call offline, and just tell us what city and state you're in, and we can guide you and lead you to the resources, you know, the places that you can call to connect. You know, I just wanted to, you know, say that again. It's very important.
No, that's good.
It's very important.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that, you know, the holidays is really bad for them.
And
Lord knows we understand. Me personally, my predators, the perpetrators that hurt me, when I came home from the military, the first one, which was my grandfather, he was still alive. And so him and my grandmother was divorced, so I never had to worry about seeing him. I went to the holidays. I was so closed off. I had an issue with being around people, period. So I knew it was hard for me, yet I was lonely during the holidays. So I have memories of when we all gather around to eat, break bread, or whatever. But then, you know, I started going anyway. I forced myself to get out the door around my family. I didn't have to worry about seeing my grandfather. You know what I'm saying? Because him and my grandmother broke up. When they broke up, it was bad. So he ain't come to any activities in our family. You know, he didn't come to anything like that. I had to get the issue of wanting to come outside my house because I literally lived like as a prisoner. I didn't go outside. I remember when I had, you know, my daughter would call me and I would give her a grocery list out the window with my money to go get my groceries. I mean, I wouldn't even be around my own children, no one, you know, and they would bring my groceries to the door and I'd pour my groceries in. I lived in a prison for years like that.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I never saw the outside world. So I'm saying that to say I know exactly how that feels. It's already bad enough that you're alone, but it does hurt the worst during the holidays. Mm-hmm. I had a lady that told me, Carol and Ann, that she would be at home and she would just cry. She'd have a box of tissues because she called me on the hotline one day. She was sharing this with me. It was during the holiday and I had guests, but I picked up the phone. And it happened to be someone who was in need, needed someone to talk to, right? So she was saying how she was watching all these Christmas movies and, you know, everybody loving each other. But I said, stop looking at that. I said, you're sitting up there, you're looking at it, and that's making it worse for you. So stop looking at it. Then she said, well, I like Christmas stories. I said, do you want to keep crying or do you need to find something else? You know, so I led her to a channel where people were gathered and they were just singing, you know, gospel music. You know what I'm saying? And and then I gave her my personal number, and like 2 hours later, she called and said thank you. Because it was literally making her sick watching all these Christmas stories of families exchanging gifts, loving on each other, and eating food. Why would you sit there and watch that? And that's what you're missing, desiring, and wishing you can get out your house to do. You know, so you've got to really be mindful, again, of what you look at on TV. When you are a person that is, you know, that you keep to yourself and you're locked in, you know, in your own, in your home and in your mind, you have to be mindful of what you look at. Do you agree? Do you agree, Carol?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I tell people, I think it's called Wii. Go to the Wii channel. My son had told me that, and you're going to find all the I Love Lucy's and all the, you know.
There's so many
of them. I can't even remember all the names of them, but they were so funny. I would roll on the floor laughing. You know, I have a good, you know, I love to laugh. I love to laugh.
Now, that's good. And, and
there's just so many that you can go back to and watch. And, you know, put yourself in better humor. I love King of Queens, and it's very hard to find now. King of Queens, of course, is taking place in Queens, and it's a wonderful story type thing. You know, they have episodes of it.
It's on cable. It's on cable every week.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's on cable.
When it first started out, I think it was in the 90s.
Yeah.
I was in a bad place in my life, okay, and I wasn't I wasn't watching too much TV. I'll tell you what. So I never saw it. So now when I find it, you know, the channel to go on to find it, I go to Netflix, and Netflix has episodes. But now I've seen all of those episodes. Now I need to see the remaining episodes. So,
I was going to say that I don't know what cable y'all have in each city. You know, cable name, the name of cable is different in every city, but we have what is called Spectrum here. So it is on cable. And it doesn't matter what city and state you are, even though we're different, but mostly what they show, I found out for cable itself, for Spectrum, it's normally on all the other cables companies in different cities and states. So it is on your cable channel. You can literally go into the search bar and type in King of Queens. Is that the name of it you said, Carol? Type it in, and it will just pop up the channel. You just click on it, and you'll be able to watch it on your cable if you have cable. And that's also good what you said, Carol, that you got Netflix. And if it's on Netflix, that's another place, you know. a resource. And I like the fact that you brought up comedy, because I'm going to tell you something. You can go on Netflix, or you can just go on your cable channel, cable itself, and you can find you some comedy. Just look at that and laugh. Oh, my God. That's what I do when I need to laugh, you know, so my mind won't be going back to when I was a little girl, when I was hurt, abused, or, you know, I just put on something that would make me laugh, and it works. Isn't that right, Carol?
It does work.
I fall out the chair.
Well, let me tell you what. Mike, I was watching one episode of King of Queens, and I was on the floor laughing and rolling my butt off, okay? And my cat came over and hissed at me. She thought I was having some kind of fit. That made me laugh even harder. And, you know, but sometimes, you know, whatever, which one you choose to watch, they can be so funny that I just got up from that, you know, when it was done, and I felt so, so much better. And I had choice words to say it to people I was mad at, to myself, and I probably said it to the air, like wind talk, but I wouldn't say it on the radio. I wouldn't do that.
Laughter
but,
is good,
you know,
for the soul.
But you know what? Let me tell you what. It helped, okay?
Yes, it does.
I was like, I was feeling so much better, and I started to sing. I didn't care if Alexa liked it or not. And sometimes she'd come on and play other songs. Get out of here. Play the 70s, because I love the 70s. All right, then I started singing to that. And I didn't care if the neighborhood heard it. I didn't care, because I just felt so much better. I really did. And that's what we need to do, because you see, the people who are so, so, so depressed. Now, there's all reasons why people can be depressed, and it doesn't have to be just the holidays. So whatever that might be, okay, and that's where you go through the grief and all this other stuff that I had mentioned earlier from this article here, which I think is quite good. That is good. All right, so, I mean, you have the depression and the bereavement. That's the word I was looking for. Yes, that when someone dies in a family, and you know, and I know, and the lady that I thought was doing so well, no, she's got cancer back again. So it only lasted about 2 weeks where she was off of chemo, and it's back again. And so the pancreas, and you know what happens with that. So, I mean, look at Patrick Swayze. You know, I watched him. I loved him. I really did. And I watched him, like, go way down, okay? And then he passed away, Patrick Swayze. But, you know, the point is, sometimes we get so deep in the gutter, because our depression is so strong. That's when we need help. I have to tell people this. Because it's not going to matter whether it's a holiday. The holiday may have triggered it a little bit, whatever. Or what it is. But if you ever get down that deep, because the suicide level is up so high now, and there's kids from 12 years old, there was one that was even younger than that, someone had told me not too long ago, maybe it was you, I don't know, who had committed suicide because of the instability of the world in which we live. And, you know, with what they're doing in schools, I mean, look, I don't want to sound old-fashioned, but I don't give a crap, okay? You go to school for reading, writing, and arithmetic, like they used to say that song, reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? You know, and social studies and history and lab and all this other stuff that I got involved in. Okay, whatever. So you go, that's what school should be about.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be about any of the other things that they talk about in today's news, and I'm not going to say it on air because I'm really not allowed to. But people who watch the news, even for half an hour a day, know what the heck I'm talking about. And I came from a political family. My so-called grandfather was mayor of Westwood, for God's sake, for, I don't know, two terms or something, whatever. And that's all I ever heard was politics. That's how I got into it. Some people hate that, but I got interested in it. So that's just the way it is. So, but the point is, if you're down that low, with your feelings of pain, I'm gonna word it that way because that's what it is. You know, where you're crying, you can't eat, you can't sleep, or maybe you're overeating, and you know, whatever, you're popping pills to feel better, so forth and so on. Maybe you're cutting yourself. Oh my God! And I had kids that I worked with that were cutting themselves horribly. And whatever that is, okay, if you're getting down that low, then you go and you get help. You get help. Because that can go into adulthood, too. Maybe the adults don't cut themselves anymore, but they'll pop pills, they'll drink. If they're in the heavier drugs, they'll go back to that, whatever. Mm-hmm. And now with the fentanyl out there, Michelle, my biggest fear has come true. And that was that we get into the pharmaceutical, and it has. There's one pill I know, the Percocet. If I go through with this operation, you'll be darn straight. I'm not going to take any Percocet. Now, that's what I saw on TV today. It shows the people smashing the pills of Percocet up like crazy.
Yes,
and they were putting them in capsules. Okay.
That's what they do now.
Yeah. I mean, people have to be really, really, really careful because kids are dying. Adults are dying. In between ages are dying. The oldsters are dying. Everybody's dying because, you see, they want to get rid of America, don't they? So they can take over. And that's what I'm going to say because I'm getting very political here. I could go on for hours about politics and why.
Yeah. And why,
but you see,
correct.
But, you know, we have to be careful is the point. Kids go to parties. There's fentanyl there. Okay. We're going to lose kids over the holidays. I read something just the other day where they said the holidays are coming. Kids are off of school. Kids will be out partying. And I'm all for partying, but, hey, there's poison out there. There's poison out there because that's what it is. It's not even a drug. I heard someone relate to it as poison because it poisons you and kills you. And that's exactly what it does.
Hmm.
So you see, there's so many things that people get depressed over in the world right now. So yes, they get very depressed around the holidays, but it doesn't always have to be just the holidays. It can happen any time of the year because of the state of living that we're living in right now, what we're going through. So if you're the type of person that gets upset really easy, especially around the holidays, but it doesn't have to be just the holidays, like I just said, don't watch the news unless you want to get a little educated about the fentanyl. I get it. I watch that, believe me. Stay away from things that are going to make you feel bad or scared or going to trigger. Yeah, that's going to trigger
that's
you.
That's right.
Yes. Stay away from it. And if you want to feel good about yourself during this time, go out and volunteer somewhere. You can look it up on the internet in your county, places that need volunteers, and things will pop up. Okay, you can do that right now. You can just type in your county. I'm Warren County. I would type in Warren County because I typed it up the other day just for the heck of it. And volunteers in Warren County, needed volunteers in Warren County. And there were quite a few things that popped up. Even going to the hospital, okay, and reading to the blind, you'd be surprised how much they appreciate that. First of all, they get company, all right, and you're reading something, you know, ask them what kind of literature they want you to read, you know, what is it that you like to you know, talk about. And you can help a person feel so much better just by doing that. Or you can go to the hospital and you can help if you know anything at all about, you know, a little bit about medical. You can take even people out in the wheelchairs, okay? They'll usually have an assistant with you until, you know, you learn how to do that so you don't hurt someone's foot if they have a bad foot or whatever from turning the wheels wrong. I saw that happen one day. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but there's all kinds of things that you can do, all right? You can help in the cafeterias. You can do all kinds of stuff. You can take food up to patients. They always need people to take food up to patients. They'll give you a floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's things like that. And then, yes, you can go to the shelters. And, you know, you can do, there's so much you can do. And by the time the night is over, you will go home and you will think about damn, I did a good thing today. Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you'll like yourself. And you'll feel good about yourself.
Absolutely. You sure will.
Yes, you will. So what do you think about that, Annie?
Well, I think it's wonderful. I have volunteered to help feed people before and in, like, where they come and get the food and you put it in bags and give it to them. The food bank, yes. I've done that. And it just makes you feel like $1 million because, I don't know, you just feel so much love. I do. I feel so much love when I do that kind of thing. And it lifts my spirits. I feel better. I don't feel so down. It's like it gives me hope.
Yes. Absolutely. It absolutely does. Now, the other day I was I was in, at the bottom of the hill. People who know me know what I'm talking about. And the gas station is there. And then also, too, I live in such a town, a little town. Where I think we have maybe two gas stations in it. So, and this one also has a little convenience store behind. And I hope the guy's not listening, but if you are, that's okay. But anyway, I don't know, he's sort of like roaming around the store, and I thought he looked a little disoriented or whatever, so I started to follow him. I wanted to see why he felt disoriented. Did he need help? Did he need help? I don't know. So I got out of there before he did, and I sat in my car. Then I got out of my car because all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, he's standing over by, I don't know, I guess it was a pole at the end of the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I got back into my car and I drove up to him. And I you know, put my window down and I said, can I help you? Is there something you need help with? Are you in trouble? What's the matter with you?
Mm-hmm.
What's the matter with you? So he looks at me, and he seems so shocked. And he said, well, thank you for stopping and asking. And he said, no, I'm waiting. I got a hold of someone. They're going to come and pick me up. He said, but thank you so much for asking. Now, you see, if we even do something like that, you know, it helps people. It gives people hope. There's someone that cared enough about whether I was okay or not, that they actually pulled up to me and asked me if I was all right. You see? The society that we live in today, Michelle and Annie, it's so broken. It's so sad. It's a sad society that people don't even have it within them, many of them, to be nice to other people. In fact, they might be downright rude.
Yeah. I got to go along with you in that one.
Yeah, you bet. I've seen it.
I got to go along with you on that one.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I take a little offense maybe, but then I think, wait a minute, where's that person coming from? Why are they so angry? Or maybe they're just an angry person. I don't know. Not my problem, you know. And then I'll go on my way. But, you know, until we can get our country back to where it was and we can be happy again, you know, and I'm not going to say that our country was perfect because it wasn't. Because years ago, Michelle, I know I told you this, but I don't think I said it on air. If I did, it was a while ago. When my husband was still alive, at times he'd work in different places of the city and he had to get dressed up and, you know, he'd be doing office work. And but he was an electrician for the city of New York. And he worked many times around the Harlem area and then in other places. But the point is this. He would take himself to the he could walk to the train. We lived so close to the train, so it didn't matter. But in the afternoon, if you're okay, he worked hard all day, I'll go pick him up.
Right.
And he was this guy, I was watching this day after day. He was a drunk. Oh yeah, he was a drunk, and he usually was on the bench, okay, sitting there drinking his bottle, and but there are times when he was laying actually on the ground, and people were getting off the train, I know I told you this. I can tell. Okay, people were getting off the train. No one stopped to see if he was alive. I mean, it was only like, you know, 20 degrees out or something. And alcohol, you know, it cold. You get cold from alcohol after a while. You maybe get warm at first. You may even have a good time and be a jolly person with the alcohol. But then it becomes a depressant. Alcohol is a depressant. People don't understand that, but it's the truth. Now, well, I mean, what do you do when you drink too much? You crash, okay? You crash. You go down, all right? It's a depressant. So this guy was laying on the ground. I'd had enough. I called the cops.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, come and get this man. So when they came, they showed up. They came. And they got him up off the ground. Now, the people didn't even walk around him. Michelle, remember my telling you this? They walked over him. Oh, my God. And how awful. I mean, people are human beings, you know. They might be screwed up, but they're still human beings. So they said, well, I don't know where to take this guy. He has no insurance or anything. I'm sure, blah, blah, blah. Salvation Army. Take him to the Salvation Army. Have someone pick him up. We're not that far from Morristown. Okay, Dover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a little ways, but they would do that. So that's what happened. He went to the Salvation Army, and then he got his medical, didn't he? He got everything that he needed.
Right.
Roof over his head. He got counseling. So I rave about the Salvation Army because I kind of followed what was going on. And now this guy today, he wants to be a counselor.
Wow.
He wants to work with people like himself, and he wants to be a counselor. Now that's the last I heard. See?
Okay.
So I'm not saying that all people will turn out like him, but look at where he was. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you have it within yourself, if you're given the right counseling or the proper, if you have a proper therapist, or if you're psychiatric, if you have the proper meds, there's nothing wrong with taking meds if you take them right. And when you first start taking meds, you might have to ping pong around before they find the right meds. They have to check your blood levels. We did this at Greystone. You check the blood levels to make sure that they're right. And when you get, you know, straightened out on what meds you take, you know, you'll feel a lot better. And it's a good thing, not a bad thing. And then maybe, just maybe, you'll start to live. And this is what we all want, okay? This is what we all want. We want to live. We want to be happy. We want to people to be kind to us. We've had enough of the unkindness, okay?
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it's a bad thing. So the only thing I can think of is, you know, is be kind to other people, and maybe it'll bounce back. Just maybe.
Mm.
So what do you think, Michelle? Do you think about people being kind?
You know, you have to really, let me tell you something. I gotta let people know that you really more stronger than you think. Because after all the stuff that we've been through, that we experienced in abuse, and being an adult now, you can really feel someone's spirit. Like, you can really feel whether or not they're real or not, because we got such this tough mechanism and protection shield around us. You can pick up on that, because I can pick up on someone if they're not for the right thing, for real.
That's right. We have our antennas. That's what they're called.
Yes, because we went through so much in our life of being beaten and battered and abused. When you become an adult, we got that defense mechanism. As victims and survivors, you can pick up on that. You'll know. I have been through too much hell for at the age of two. Ain't nobody going to come by me too so easy. I'm just saying it. They're not.
Well, in cases like people who are a part of NASCA, it either makes us stronger as people, or we crash. You know, do you hear that funny noise? There's a weird boo 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 boo.
That's me, sorry.
That's all right. Okay. Yeah, no, I hear you. But that's what it does. It either we become tougher. People have said to me, Carol, you're so tough. And I say, yeah, I am. I have to be. It's okay. I don't want to be a softie anymore. You know what I'm saying? When we were young, we were children,
mm-hmm.
and we were soft. What happens when you're a child? Either you grow up and you become, I don't mean tough in a wrong way. There's all kinds of things that can happen, okay? You become juvenile, delinquent, all this other stuff. I don't mean it that way. But I mean our innards, okay, our emotional stability, okay, how we think, how we reason. We can, you know, we can be good people. We can grow into good people and do good for other people and do good for ourselves. You have to start there first. And then, you know, then you can help people, you know. So either, like I say, you get stronger or you crash. And I feel so sorry for the people who crash. I want to read this before the show is over. It says here, some thoughts. I want to discuss it a little bit. We are innocent and guilt-free, yet share feelings of shame and fear. We should accept no responsibility for our abuse in childhood. Our low self-esteem and feelings of worthlessness are lies. Our lives changed forever in the moment we were first violated. We were diverted from our destiny. Our scars can become a pertinent part of who we are and defining us. We suffer a kind of insanity which can involve deep depression and anger. The resentments we carry are controlling us. We are not alone. We are as sick as our secrets. Recovery is possible if we work for it. We can have a complete change in our character. And I added one to that. We may be only one person, but to someone, we are the world. There's one person in our lives, okay, at least one person, that we can be that person's world. And that's so true. I found that out. And it started with kindness. Okay, so we don't live in a kind world, but I don't know what's going to happen, Michelle. I just might run away. I don't know where to run to. Annie, if you could run away, where would you go?
If I could run away, probably the desert. I love the desert. I love to be alone in the emptiness.
Really? Okay. Well,
yes,
we just learned something about
our
Annie. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm a big camper, so I go out there a lot alone.
Wow. What about you, Michelle?
I'm sorry, say it again.
If you could run away, where would you go?
Jamaica.
Ah, there
and,
you go.
Jamaica
boom, 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 boom,
or
boom,
Vegas.
Boom, boom. Yeah, we got that. I got that. I can
Jamaica
get into that.
Out of the country and Vegas in the United States.
There you go. There you go. Now, where would I go? Knowing me, you may think I'm crazy, but I'd go back to the city. But I'm not going to go back to the city when it's so nuts. I'm not stupid, all right? If I could have the city the way that it was years ago, okay, it had everything in it. There was crime then, too. Of course there was. But I never walk alone without something in my pocket. We'll put it that way. But the city offers so much culture. Think about it. I love Broadway. I went to over 50 Broadway shows, and I could do it again. You know, I love things like that. And I like places like Cheers. Do you remember when Cheers was on the TV? Did you ever watch that?
Did I watch
what? I remember
what?
That.
You remember that, Annie. The Cheers.
Yes.
C-H-E-E-R-S. Yeah, Cheers. That was such a
good show.
Yes, it was. Now, the city has, you know, places like Cheers. It's just that everything is being ruined right now. I'm not going there now. I'm not dumb. My granddaughter wants to go to the city all the time. She says, Nana, take me to the city. Come on, let's go. I said, no, not right now. I said, you'd have to wear a helmet. I'd have to wear a helmet. And that's just for your head. It's just not a good idea right now. You need a suit of armor to go to the city right now. That's what you need. My daughter has one of those in her living room. It is the most cool thing that I've ever seen. I don't know where she got it from. But she got this big suit of armor. Can you picture that? And right now, some places like New York and Chicago, forget it, Chicago is even much worse than the city, New York City, you need a suit of armor because we never know what's going to happen next. So don't think that doesn't bring depression upon people. All right? That brings depression and fear because that's how we're living right now. So tonight, Michelle, when you say your prayers, and Annie, do you say prayers? I don't know. I say them every night. I always ask, please, you know, for change to take place. Because I want to go back to my beloved city where I, you know, had so much fun and I saw so many things. And I would go over to Brooklyn too, okay? I wouldn't be doing it now, you know, and sometimes Queens, but mostly around the Manhattan area. But, you know, it's say your prayers. Everybody, we had a day of prayer, didn't we, Michelle? How many, was it 2 months ago or something? I know it was broadcasted on the TV. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, I know you're having trouble. I can hear it. I do know that I think it was about 2 months ago there was a day of prayer. But I don't think enough people prayed, okay? Because, okay, whatever. All right, listen here. If you have something you'd like to say, I want you to close the show out, you know, if there's something you want to talk about, Michelle, because...
The only thing I really want to quickly say is for the listeners or who are in the chat room, if no one didn't tell you today that they didn't love you, just know that God loves you and we all here, me, Annie, and Carol, we love you, you know, and if you need someone to talk to, you can go on the website. There's a list of names. My name is Minister Michelle Bless. I have an email and a phone number. Feel free to call or text to reach me quicker if I don't answer the phone because I might not hear it sometimes. But if you text me, I got a ringer on this text. I'm trying to figure out how to put that same ringer on the phone when it calls. But if you text me, I will immediately respond. I will respond to say whether or not can I call you now or I'll say you call me. And there's two scriptures I want to give, which is Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14, and also Psalms 91. That's the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 11 through 14, and Psalms 91. And, Carol, I don't know, I'm going to throw this out here. Like, if you want to do something for any of these holidays that's coming up, a special day for me and you to do, like we can do an early morning, whatever, let's do it.
Right?
Let's do it. You know, I'm talking about if we can do it early, I don't know if that's a different fee or whatever. If we can come on early, fine. If not, then I'm still willing. You just got to let me know which holiday you want to do, you know?
Okay.
Or we can just do every holiday. Just because, I mean, I can help, I can put you live. If I'm around my family, this would be like we're sending a lot of food. I will break bread with you live on the radio, me, Carol, you know. So just let me know, Carol. Just give
okay,
me a chance.
Okay, I certainly
let
will.
Me know, okay? All right.
Okay, that's beautiful. That really is. And Annie, I would like to do that. Annie, what about you? What do you have to say? Did you enjoy the show tonight?
Well, I did enjoy the show tonight, and I like Michelle's idea. And mm-hmm. I want to say that I used to do this program, a 12-step program, and we would have marathon phone calls on Thanksgiving. And so no matter what time, day or night, 24 hours, somebody was on the phone that you could talk to. And that
that's a really supportive thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you know what? We have that's good. That's good. We do have, you know, the contact page. That's what Michelle was talking about, too, was the contact page. That's what's listed under. And there are quite a few names on there, but you can be sure, okay, I guess, Annie, you'd definitely be one that someone could call and talk to.
Sure.
And yes, absolutely. And her last name is Margis, and tonight she's co-host, and Michelle is co-host also. I had two co-hosts. Ah, I was a lucky girl. Yes, I was. And then there's Michelle Bless, and she can be contacted. She really prefers when you, well, not email her, but when you, what is the, how do you want people to call you or what, Michelle? Oh, I can't hear her again.
Oh,
she's
I'm
having
sorry.
Trouble.
I'm still here.
It's okay.
My phone is acting up. My phone is acting up. I'm sorry. I don't know why it's doing that.
Yeah, I know. It's going woo, 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 woo. Three Stooges used to
phone.
Do that.
I'm going to the cell phone place tomorrow. I can literally hear it making that noise. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. But, anyway, the contact list is there. That's what you were calling, what you were talking about was the contact list. So, anyway, people can call us on the contact list. You'll see our emails. You'll see our telephone numbers. I get a lot of calls in the AM. So don't feel funny if you feel like you need someone to talk to at, say, 3 o'clock in the morning. I hate to say this, but the other day I went to bed, Michelle, at 6 a.m. 6 a.m. And,
I love you guys.
Okay, sweetheart.
I can hardly hear. I'm going to go ahead and jump off of this. Know that I love you guys, and I love everybody that's in the audience. Stay blessed, and I'll see you tomorrow. I will be here tomorrow with my sister, Carol.
Okay, that'd be great. Okay,
all right,
so
sweetie.
Annie, you're still there. Okay, honey, thank you.
Bye, Michelle.
You're welcome. Bye, sweetie.
I'm still here, Carol.
Yeah, I know. I hope she gets rid of the woo-woos. I don't know what that was. But anyway, the point is people need to know that. They need to know that, you know, the contact list is there and it's available for anyone to call. And I'm the night owl, so therefore they can call me anytime, you know, in the a.m. because I sleep. Well, probably until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I can sleep that long. Because if I go to bed at 6 o'clock, that means I've showered and I'm ready for bed. And I get phone calls, Annie, at 5. I do. The last, you know, four or five days, and almost in a row, last week, I was getting all these phone calls. So people don't have to feel funny about calling me, is my point. And
that's great.
But I do suggest, that, you know, I don't know if everybody has a schedule like me on the contact list, that's what I'm trying to say, you know. But Annie, you'll certainly take a phone call or somebody can leave a message, all right, and you'll get back to them because
sure.
I don't know what your schedule is, you know.
Or
yeah.
Texting. I like texting. I like to communicate by text, too.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that's good. So I'm waiting for the 90-second bleep here, and it'll come any second. Yeah, you know, I hope Michelle is better tomorrow with her phone. I really do because, tomorrow we're going to have Cricket on. I call her Cricket. That's what she likes to be called, and her last name is Andrews. And so anyway, she'll be our guest tomorrow. She's a guardian angel, you bet. She was the first guardian angel that I'd ever met in this area, in this chapter area of Pennsylvania, and that's Easton. So I'm looking very, very forward to, you know, having her on. And we started talking heavily about a month ago. We keep in contact. She's moved. She's still in PA, though. And so anyway, she's going to be on, and she'll have a lot to talk about. So that'll be good. That'll be good. And by the way, the guardian angels, I just want to say about the guardian angels, all the chapters, you know, can be different, whether they're urban or whether they're the country bumpkins or whatever, whomever, whatever. They do an awful lot for kids and for people in general. And that's what draws me to them, because they do believe so much, Annie, in community. Now, I'm not going to talk too much about community tonight.
I've never heard of the guardian angels.
Guardian angels
have
been
before.
Around. Well, you know, they've been around since the 70s, and they have grown. I think they're in every state, and they're in. I believe now. I could be wrong in this, but I believe they're also too in other countries. And so you see, what they do is they work like with other places like Crime Watch, Neighborhood Watch. They sort of like work with them, but the guardian angels do. Well, I shouldn't say this, but they do an awful lot of work. Let's put it that way. They go into the schools. They teach kids martial arts. They work with kids at risk. They do all kinds of things. So that's a big bleep out for them, because I really very much believe in them. I've been following them since, early 80s. And they started in our area. Yeah. Since 1979, Curtis had started in 1979, and I tried to get him on the show one night. I think he melted the whole thing. So many people wanted to hear that show. There was something with Verizon that went wrong. My God, I couldn't even run the show because maybe there were too many callers. I don't know. So believe me, they're well-known. I feel very, very highly, you know, about them. I really just adore them. I really do, because they put so much of themselves into, you know, their organization and into people, into community. And that's a big thing with me, you know, absolutely. So.
Do they have a website that people can go to?
Oh, yes, you know? They have. You can look up the Guardian Angels. I suggest you look up, since I'm, you know, not affiliated with them, but I know them so well over in this area, you can look up the Guardian Angels in any area. But who's coming on tomorrow, okay, she's from PA, so look up the full, you know, the Guardian Angels in Pennsylvania. And they wear red hats, they're caps, like, and a red jacket. And like in New York City, they go into the subways many times because they have something like called Perv Alert. And because so many people can be so nasty. They're all standing there against the pole, you know, hanging on. Have you ever been on a subway? I don't know if you have been or not. But the seats are taken, so then you have these poles that you hang on to and you get off at your stop.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have some nasty guys that'll, or maybe even women, I don't know, you know, do weird things. So they organize that, and but that's just a small part of what they do. They go, you know, wherever there's trouble. And what they do also, and all the guardian angels, as far as I know anyway, is they patrol the streets. They do that. They patrol the streets. And if people, okay, say there's a bunch of kids fighting, they'll have they have a way of standing. And the last person on the line of their standing, I believe, is called a diamond. And then you have a person in the front. And what they'll do is go to the one who is most harassing. You can tell who's the worst person the pack is, you know, that are fighting. And they'll try to get that person, you know, calmed down. And then the rest of them seem to fall into place, because they see they're not alone. The guardian angels are there. And, of course, they've called the police. So... they do all kinds of things, though, and Cricket will talk about that and some other things tomorrow. So it'll be a very interesting show. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look up her bio, okay, and you'll get an idea. Yeah. So I can stop the show now, because we're heading towards 30 seconds. I want to thank everyone that listened tonight. And meow yourself. We'll be back tomorrow. So good night. God bless, and stay safe.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye, honey. Thank you.
You often got it.
Radio.
Okay.